Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. You know, we're singing that song just inside the Eastern Gate. The first time I heard that song was down in Abbott Street. And there's a few wee women sang it. That's a brave lot of years ago. And it really was a blessing. And you know the thing about it? If they're not saved, they'll not be meeting us. That's the sobering side of it. They'll only be there if they're saved. Only the redeemed of the Lord will be in heaven, isn't that right? And that's why it's so important that we pray and I. That's why it's so important. Let's read John 14, verse 13. And while you're looking it up, I just want to read you a statement by Robert Murray. And I'm sure everyone's heard of Robert Murray. He's wrote some wonderful books on blood and different things. And I think this is very true. Someone I read somewhere that he had said, it might even be in this Bible, because I have some different quotations through this Bible. What a man is in his prayer closet is what he is. No Christian is greater than his prayer life, and his prayer life can be no greater than his personal life. I'm not saying we have to be super saints or heroes of holiness, but we cannot divorce our living from our prayer. And I believe that's the truth. I believe we need to be men and women of prayer. And we talk about revival, and Brother John mentioned it the other week, and we need revival. But there's only one recipe I know of through history and the Bible and everything. What I've read or ever seen where God's moved, that's prayer. Prayer is the secret. Amen. Let's read verse 13. Just one verse tonight. John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let's bow our heads again tonight. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that the Father is glorified in the Son when we ask in your name. Lord, we're not here to glorify self for any movement, but we're here to glorify and exalt the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will be lifted up in this house tonight, that you'll come off the pages of this book and you'll bless your people this evening. Inspire us and instruct us to pray. Give us a hunger to pray, deeper than we have even now. Cause us to thirst and hunger even more. Bless each one. Minister to each one. Meet every need, spoken or unspoken. Have your way. We pray again for Sister Lynn, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that you'll know your power and your touch in the name of Jesus Christ. And for those that our brother Gary's prayed for tonight, grant it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Pray for Philip tonight. You'll touch him. Minister unto him. Lord, we know you can create the miracle or you can use the doctor, but we pray, Lord, that you'll make him whole, well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We claim every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, aunt, uncle, niece, and nephew represented with this house, with men and women in this room tonight. We ask for their salvation. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives. And we claim them to be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke the devil. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost now to help me. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We need positivity, not negativity. Positivity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, when you come into a meeting and the devil will say to you, it's not going well tonight, then you'll say, it's not going too well. Then that's the way it'll work it. But I couldn't care how he says it's going great, that the Lord's here. How do you know? For two or three's gathered in his name, he has promised to be in the midst and not to bless. So I'm come tonight to praise him, magnify him, and you can join in too if you want. Amen. It can be whatever you want it to be. And I want it to be positive. And I'm going to preach in prayer tonight. I'm going to tell you about prayer, how important it is to pray. And I believe it is so important to pray. I believe that somebody prayed for me and somebody prayed for you, or you were saved. Somebody prayed for you. I know that God knows who's going to come. I know all them things. And I know that there's an attitude in some people that it'll happen the way it's meant to happen and just drift along and everything will flow along. Well, that's only partly true. Because you can drift along some ways that you're not meant to drift along. And God doesn't want you to drift along. And you need to do something about that. And I'm going to show you from Scripture tonight how things were changed because people cried to the Lord to change it. And because they cried to the Lord in prayer, God changed it. James 4 and 2 says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, you fight and war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not." God wants us to ask him what we need. He wants us to tell him. He doesn't want, like the fellow did with Shambok, "Pray for me for a job." So Shambok laid his hands on him and said, "Lord, give him a job, shining shoes." And he stopped him in the middle of prayer and he says, no, hold on. I don't want a job, shining shoes. He says, "Well then, what job do you want?" Be pacific. Be pacific. And he said, told him the job he wanted. And he said, "Mine's the last application. It's on the bottom of the pile." And he said, "Lord, put it on the top of the pile." And a month later, he came back with a first month's check. He got the job. And when Shambok seen the check, he says, "Hey boy, could you get me a job down there?" He was well paid. God will bless you. The Bible doesn't just say God will bless you, but the Bible says God will bless you and it will flow over the top. More than you can use. What do you think of that? Do you think God can't give you? God will give you more than you can use. Is that the Bible or not? Pressed down, my Bible says, and running over the top. That's more than, as a brother John says, life and life to spare. That's what God can give you. More of the same anointing, more of the same Holy Ghost. Thank God for it. The important thing is to pray. How important? There's so many things God will do when we ask him. And there's so many things you can go along with and you might not ask him. But a wee missionary asked for a pair of shoelaces because she needed them. And God sent her a pair of shoelaces. She got what she asked for. She needed them. And God can give you what you ask for, down to the finest or the biggest thing. Whatever it is, God can give you. And God can bless you with it. The important thing is to pray. God wants us to pray. Many people will carelessly say, "Well, whatever happens is God's will." Have you ever heard that? Whatever happens is God's will. So they don't pray nothing about it. Well, the Bible says you're to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he'll direct your paths. Because the Bible talks about people walking in their own paths. But God doesn't want us to walk in our own paths willy-nilly. And then say, "Well, it'll happen if it happens." That's not the scripture. We're to walk in the path God gives us. God's a path he wants us to walk in. This is the way, walk ye in it. You see, when God got Paul, the first thing God done with Paul, he put him in the place called Straight. Isn't that right? That's what you read. He got him into a place called Straight. And when you read the cycle of the wheel in the midst of the wheel, it could go left or right, but it still went straight. God's not a bender. There's a lot of twisters and benders, but God's not a twister or a bender. He goes straight. And when you pray, God can do it. Amen. That's the truth. You know, there's a lot of people that like that song, "Let's Twist Again," like we did last summer. If you know you go and do jobs or anything and you'll get a twister, you'll never have to look for one. You'll put one there. You know, I heard a man preaching a sermon, and he preached a great sermon because people was complaining because people had other Christians done thing on them and it hurt them and offended them. And he preached it's the best thing ever they got. They needed it. Now, when you heard him at the start of a sermon, you wondered, what's he talking about? But when you heard him, when he went in telling it a bit, it was all the truth. Because God, when he starts out, you know, when the diamond starts out, it has to be shaped. And it has to be chipped at and hammered at and banged at. And everything's for a purpose and a reason, to bring the best out. And the gold has to go through the fire. And all the black and dirt and everything goes off it. And that gold, pure gold, comes out all the time. Amen. We need a praying. And you know, things can happen to you in your life that'll make you pray. How many knows what I'm preaching about? I can guarantee it does. It'll make you pray. It'll drive you to praying. And it's all for our benefit. We mightn't think it at the time, but it is. John 14:14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of God. God can't lie. He watches over his word to perform it and bring it to pass. He could swear by no greater, so he swear by himself that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Why? That we might have strong consolation to lay hold on the hope set before us. God can't lie. God doesn't lie. God's word says, I will do it. If you pray. But there's no point you praying and then going out through these doors and saying, I will not get it. There's no chance of it. What was the point praying? That's unbelief. Unbelief is sin. Smoking and drinking, William Branham said, it's not sin. He said that's the fruit of sin. People do that because they don't believe. But if you really believe, you'll believe. How do you believe? Just believe. That's how you do it. Amen. You just do it. James plainly says, you do not have because you do not ask. Now, there's lots of surprising discoveries, and this Bible's full of surprising discoveries. And when you study this New Testament, there's a surprising discoveries in it. I'm going to try and bring some of them out tonight. And these Gospels and healings and miracles of Jesus Christ, in most cases, people had to ask him. Now, I know that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed to the devil, but there was many people here that had to ask him. They had to come and ask him. And these things are written in this Bible for our admiration. That means we can take these, use them for our own lives and situations, and we can do what they've done. And if somebody says you can't do what they've done, you know that's false. Because the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. So if somebody in this Bible could pray, you can pray. The Bible even says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But yet he prayed earnestly and it rained not. Then you know he prayed again and he said, go way up there and have a look. What do you see? And he said, see, like a man's hand, like a cloud. The rain was coming. There was no rain till he said, no rain. Then what he said, there'll not be rain till I ask for it again. That's how confident he was in prayer. And I tell you, when I was in America, and it's a good lot of years ago, when 1991, you know, I stayed with an old couple. Well, probably they weren't that old, but when you're early 20s, somebody at 60 seems old. But now that I'm near 60, early 20s is only a child. I'm young, by the way. Praise God. You know what I'm talking about. But I tell you, there's a wee woman there called Minnie, and I can guarantee you when she prayed, that was it. I'd seen it. And I've seen everywhere we went, and people knew her. And they used to get her to pray. And when she prayed, that was it over. God answered. She was a woman of prayer. Now she could preach and she could prophesy, but she was a woman of prayer. And she said, the first thing you need to give Tommy is a Thompson Chain reference Bible. And they bought me one and I still have it. And it says in the front of it, in the very front page at the back, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. When you're not reading the Bible, you're only going to go one way. And when you are reading it, you're only going to go one way. The Bible's a cleaner. It's a purifier. God's word cleans. Amen. Bartimaeus cried so long and so loud before Jesus stopped to listen, and the crowd told him, shut up. But he cried the more. Look at verse 46. Mark 10:46. It's just a few examples tonight. I just want to encourage you to pray. That's all I'm trying to do. If I can do that, then I know I've done the right thing. Amen. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." I believe he might be able to actually physically cry. That's what I believe. You know, the scriptures, it says, cry unto the Lord. And I tell you, you know, when you hear Brother Bob preaching about them eagles, and he said the strong eagle always cries. And he said, when that eagle got back on the rock, you know, the eagle that was in the moping period, but eventually got back on the rock, he said the first thing he did, he looked up, and the tears began to come out of his eyes, and he was crying till his maker, and he screamed out, and he opened his wings and began to fly again. God restored him. And here blind Bartimaeus is crying to the Lord. He's crying to the Lord. And I tell you, I turned to the Lord. Let's read this. And when he had heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48. And many charged him that he should not, that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. They couldn't get him stopped. Do you ever have somebody like that in the church? I have had somebody like that. I'll tell you that straight. No point fiddling about. And Ian Paisley had a boy like that once too in his church. And the elders and the deacons pulled Paisley in after a meeting one night. And they said, "You see that boy?" And they tell him his name. They said, "You need to get him quieting down. He's disturbing the service." And Paisley says, "I will not. For it took him long enough to get started. I'm not going to stop him." And I tell you, we need some people to get started. And when they get started, I don't want to see any of us with buckets of water to get them stopped. Keep them lit when they're going. Amen. Because it's hard to get them started when it's like an oil engine that's cowed in the winter. Num, num, num. It's hard to get going. But when you get her going, keep her going. It's not right. You know, years ago, they used to run some engines all night. They wouldn't have started the next morning. You ever see the old D7s years ago? And I remember my dad telling me about them. And I've seen a couple of films about them. And them oil engines, you couldn't start them. But you had a wee engine. And you got the wee engine going. And then the wee engine helped to get the big engine going. And we need the wee engine and we need the big engines. And we need all the engines and we need the whole lot going. Because when you study the tabernacle, it says the fire never went out. They had to keep the fire continually burning. And God wants his fire continually burning. Amen. Amen. This man cries to the Lord, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 49. And Jesus stood still. I tell you, if you can cry and get the Lord to stand still, do you know what I'm talking about? Jesus stood still. Now you know yourself, if you're doing a job and you're fiddling about, going around, and I'm not saying the Lord was fiddling about, but I'm just trying to make a point. If you're in a job and you're going around and you're trying to tell somebody something, they're not listening to you. They're too busy. But if they stop to hear you, you've got their ear. Is that right? And blind Bartimaeus had got Jesus' ear. He stopped and he stood still. And I tell you, when the Lord stands still to hear, something's going to take place. Hallelujah. Look at this. This is wonderful. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and he came to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to come to him. He doesn't want us to tell the neighbor about it or somebody else about it. The Lord wants us to cry on to them and come to them. With every situation, come to the Lord. So the Lord's the only one can fix it. Anything else that we often hear is a broken stick. But not with the Lord. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a present help in the time of trouble. Glory to God. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now the Lord knows what he needs. But he's asking him. He's asking them. And blind Bartimaeus, the blind man, said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah. As soon as he told the Lord what he needed, he cried to the Lord. And the Lord stood still. Then the Lord said, bring him. And as soon as he came, he said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, it's an impossibility to give us man a sight, but that which is impossible with man is possible with God. And see here, Spurgeon says, Jesus is the God-man. God manifested in flesh. What for? To destroy the works of the devil. And the Lord healed him. Look at the Syrophoenician woman before healing of her daughter in Matthew 15, verse 21. And Jesus went thence and departed under the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered her and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Jericho preached a sermon from this. And Jericho said, what that woman was saying is, Lord, throw me one crumb. That's all I want. And she kept coming. And you know, it wasn't customary for her, the background and the race she come from, to come. That's why he never paid no attention to her. You know, the Gentiles were like dogs to the Jews. Did you know that? That's the Bible. That's the truth. And that's why it's written like this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A woman that wasn't of the right lineage, come unto the Lord. And what would you say if somebody called you a dog? Go on, you dog. That wasn't very nice, the way she was talked to. But that's the way the Lord talked to her. But it didn't hinder her. And many times we're so easy put off. Boy, he offended me. She offended me. We're so easy put off. That's the devil wants. Amen. That's what he wants. Amen. He wants you to be put off so that you miss the real goal. And the real goal, let nothing stop you from getting to Jesus. That's the one you need to get to. Don't you worry about all the scarecrows. Let them scarecrow away, but come you on past them. Because they're not doing you one bit of harm, for they're not real. Amen? You know an old scarecrow, when he's put in the field long enough, the crows will light on him. They catch on to it. Even an old crow, after a while, know the scarecrow's false. Isn't that right? And there's lots of scarecrows in life. Boys, I wouldn't go down to them, boys. They hang off the lights. They believe this or they believe that. You wouldn't believe half of the stuff that we're meant to believe here. I tell you, I don't even know where they got it from. But boy, you want to hear some of it. But when you go over to where they are, and we heard on Sunday, you can blow smoke around the platform and you're going to have a disco on the pulpit. And that's all right in modern Christianity. But where is it in the Bible? Won't heal or save nobody. It's all fake. I want Jesus. What do you want tonight? You want to come to the Lord? The woman with this blood issue touched Jesus in Luke 8, verse 43 to 48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and all they that were with him said, Master, the multitude strongly impressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You see, you can be in a meeting and
Everybody could say, the Lord never moved this morning, but some wee fella could get a touch. Because maybe you were too busy looking at something else that distracted you from the Lord moving. Like I told you, the pastor told me some time back, I read it, and there's a woman, she said, Pastor, you know, there's an awful carrying on. What's going on in these meetings? Such and the one's doing this and somebody else, they're doing something else. And he says, there you are. So the next Sunday she came, as soon as she came in, he gave her a glass of water. And it was full to the top, and he says, you see that glass? I want you to walk around the church with. And keep on walking around, I tell you to stop, and don't spill any of it. And when she got finished her wee walk round, and she come back to him, and he says, well, did you notice Sister so-and-so this morning, her brother so-and-so? No, I hadn't time to look at any of them, for I was concentrating on the glass of water, not spilling. And I tell you, if we're concentrating on the Lord, we won't have time to nosy and look at nobody else. What are they doing? It's not what Jesus says. What will you if he tarries till I come? What is that to thee? You continue on. It's like our brother John preached, continue on. They can say what they want here, but we have to continue on. The Lord's building this house, he's going to build it. I'm not going to worry about it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This is nothing to God. I tell you, God furnished a man called Solomon in the Bible. And the Bible says he's the richest man in the whole earth. I heard a man preach about Solomon's temple years ago. And he named all the stuff in the temple that would have blew you away. Money and Giler was his name. I tell you, it was some message. And when he really could see the things Solomon had, because God had blessed him. And God can bless you. And here's this wee woman touched the hem of his garment, verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? And, you know, he said, there's a crowd, but somebody touched him in faith. Verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You know, people preach about the case of the woman and the blood issue for 18 years. This is another case here. There's more than one case. Did you know that? It's like the miracle of the 5 loaves and the fish. And then there's a miracle of the 7,000 in one place was fed, 5 in another, 2 different times. One group's Gentiles, one group's Jews. And you could study it and read it and prove it. It's in the Bible. There's so many things the Lord done. Every single thing here, there's something to it. Because it's God's word. Praise God. John 14, verse 12 and 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Jesus is saying that the works never stop, but when he goes unto the Father, the works will continue. When men and women is faith, they'll continue. Do you think God will have a generation for his nobody? God will always have a people. And every single generation, God will have a people. That's the Bible. And every generation, we talk about the dark ages and things not happening, but God had a people in the dark ages. You had the Waldenesians. And I tell you, they killed them and done all sorts to them. What about the Presbyterians? And you called them the Black Mice because they ate the berries. They persecuted them, killed them. Covenanters. Persecuted them, killed them. You know, when you go back into your history, that's where the collar come from. They turned their shirts back to front. There's a history in it all. Now, it might be away from that now, but there was originally something to it all. But God moved. Every single generation, God moved. We have the right and the power given to us according to these scriptures to do it. Through the name of Jesus. We've been given a name. We are allowed to use the name. We have a right to the name. We've inherited the name. There's something with the name. We can use it. It's like the signing the check. You can do it. If your name's in that account, you can use it. Your son and a daughter of God tonight, you can use it. What's the supreme motive? That the Father may be glorified. That has to be the motive. Not to glorify me or you. It's to glorify him. You see, when God moves, many times when God moves and God does things, man wants the glory. Look, it was me that prayed that prayer. That's why they were healed. Look, it was me that preached such a wonderful sermon and they got saved. It was me. No, it was the Lord. It led you to pray it. And the Lord that led whoever to preach. And the Lord that saved. And the Lord wants the glory. And he won't give us glory till another. The big deal about prayer is not that we get what we asked for, but that God is glorified in our getting. That's the big thing about it. God's glorified in our getting. He's glorified. We read that in the first scripture. This should always be the plumb line. The will of God, the name of Jesus, and the glory given to God. Now I'm going to sit down here now in a moment. You know, we're praying. We're on praying ground. We have a right to pray. We're in good ground. When we're asking what God actually wants, example, praying for the unsaved, we're in good ground. Because God tells us to do it. We're told to do it. We're in good ground. We're in good ground when we're praying for the sick. God tells us to do it. Mark 16, James. So many scriptures. We're in good ground. We can pray for God to prosper us. We're in good ground. Because the Bible says, a brother quoted it at the start, beloved, we see above all things that thy mass prosper. And be in good health even as thy soul does prosper. We're in good ground. Oh, never let the devil tell you when you're coming into meeting here, boy, you're in bad ground tonight, you know. This hall here, God couldn't move here. Nonsense. God can move anywhere he wants. Never believe any of that nonsense. That there's a certain place God can't move. God can move anywhere he wants to move. There's many a person conceived in an orange hall. That's the truth, isn't it? Don't care what sort of a hall it is, you could get saved out in the side of the street. I tell you, God can move anywhere he wants. But you have to believe. And when you pray, you need to be positive. There's no point you going out them doors and saying, it's not going to happen. It's a waste of time. That's unbelief. You need to believe there's going to be change. Believe something's going to happen. Look, you could have children tonight, they're away, away from God, far away. But they're going to come. You know, me and Mark were coming in the night. And Mark was just saying, Sister Jenny came down out of Scarborough Orange Hall. She had been praying in secret. She was praying for Lydia. And my dad stopped her. And he said, God's heard you. And Lydia got saved that day or the next day. She come to the Lord. And you tell me it's a coincidence. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a real good one. If it is a coincidence, get me some more of them. Coincidences like that. Could you? You see, that's the way the devil works. Yes. When you could see him, look, it was just a coincidence. No, it was the will of God. Amen. The plan and the purpose of God for your life. God saved you. God called you. You know, I was talking to a fellow today, he's not even saved. He was a wild lad. I got the chance to talk to him. He was working with me for a while and I got talking with him. And you would be surprised that there's people out there that you don't think God can work and move with, and the Lord's actually talking to them. And he was telling me how he came away from the group he was with 4 years ago. And I said, Robert, that's great. And he knows a bit of my testimony. And he says, Tom, you know, if you had been charged for some other things and you had got time in jail, what maybe others got, you wouldn't have been free to go to America and these places you've went to, because they wouldn't have even let you in. God's a plan for everything. Nothing happens by chance. But when you pray, When you pray and acknowledge the Lord, the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Pray. Maybe if we grandchildren, grandsons, granddaughters, sons, daughters, I have sons, daughters, I want to see them saved. Now I can't make them come, and I'm not even going to try it. I've been over that. I've done that. I've wore that t-shirt. You cannot force nobody to serve God. It won't work. You can't do it. But you can pray for them. And I can tell you, prayer is a better weapon than a stick or a bothering match. Now I'm telling you the truth. Now I'm not talking about correcting the children. I'm talking about bigger ones. I can't go down the street tonight and lasso somebody, force them to come. But the Holy Spirit can bring them. The Holy Spirit can bring them. How did you and me come? The Holy Spirit brought us. Nobody forced us. Nobody ever put your arm up and forced you. And the Lord brought you. But somebody was praying for you. Let's come and pray tonight. Let's pray that God will move in our families and our loved ones. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that your ear is ever open to our cry. We bless you tonight that there's an open access by the new and living way through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we would say with the hymn writer tonight, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, we would ask you that you would move and every single person in this room tonight, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, touch them in their bodies, heal them and deliver them. Lord, for all the prayers and the names mentioned already tonight, Lord, we think again of that man, Beatty. Lord, that said he wouldn't live, but he's still living. But we're praying for a full recovery. And Lord, that you'll save him, that you'll cause him to call out to your name. Bring him to the spot where he gets saved. We'll claim him under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Father, we claim our sons, our daughters, the aunt, the uncle, the niece, the nephew. Father, you know each one tonight that's on our hearts, near and dear to us. Lord, we just ask you'll move on them and deliver them. And you'll keep us in the center of your will as the apple of your eye. Bless your own people, Israel, in Jesus' precious name. Give wisdom to those in government. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, just have your way, we pray. And help us to pray in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight.